There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage. We've got a very special two-part Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock for you today. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is John Densmore, best known as the drummer in the legendary Doors. But he's also an author. His latest book is The Seekers, Meetings with Remarkable Musicians and Other Artists. It's a collection of his stories and relationships with a number of musicians from jazz to rock to country and other artists, including authors, poets, and philosophers. In part one, we talk about his inspiration for the book, the importance of space and time in music, and we'll discuss a number of his seekers, including Van Morrison and jazz artists like Fred Katz and Emile Richards. And we'll also speak of his former bandmates. And with his fellow Doors, we'll set the stage by first listening to some of Break On Through to the Other Side. And then I'll return with John Densmore on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, break on through to the other side, yeah.
Mighty Manfred here, and it's an honor and a thrill to have John Densmore, drummer in the legendary Doors, joining me for our Coolest Conversations podcast here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. In addition to Slapping the Traps, John has authored several books, and the latest came out on November the 17th and is titled The Seekers, Meetings with Remarkable Musicians and Other Artists. How are you, John?
Hey, I'm good, Mighty Manfred, and I'm pleased to be on Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm a fan of this station. And I love his occasional rants about things.
So do I. Hey, this is a pretty wackadoodle year. How are your family and friends been doing?
Oh, thanks for asking. Everybody's safe and healthy. But, you know, like everyone else, we're paranoid and being very careful and praying that next year there'll be some more light.
Well, we've definitely been going through the tunnel, so I agree with you 100%. This book of yours, Meeting with Remarkable Musicians and Other Artists, now, it was inspired by this Meetings with Remarkable Men, who's the author, G.I. Gurdjieff, 1927 book. So how did you find out about that, and how did that serve as a springboard for your own book?
Gurdjieff was this Russian-Armenian mystic novelist in the 1800s, and the book Meetings with Remarkable Men was kind of an underground mystical classic. It's kind of difficult to read, but in the book he's writing about musicians who are trying to play so well that they catch God's ear, and it hit me. I went, oh my, Meetings with Remarkable Musicians, tip of the hat to all these people that have fed me. And so that's where I got the idea.
So you've got this introduction from actor Viggo Mortensen at the beginning of the book. It's called Seekers All. Was that something that he wrote for you expressly, or was this like an essay he had written independently that you wanted to use?
No, he wrote this for me, you know, and the through line is like artists shouldn't be on pedestals so much. Everybody can play piano in a closet or paint, and no one sees the painting or hears the music, but you're kind of entering the same zone as these iconic artists, and it's a real good healing kind of area. Art is kind of like medicine for the soul, and our souls are aching right now, being you know, semi-lockdown, and it's a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, so I was wondering about him. Is he a drummer? Because when he wrote in the essay, you know, working on rhythm and timing, timing, of course, that plays big in your book. But when he lists out various types of artists, he's got drummers right second there on the list, right after painters. I was wondering if he's a musician.
No, Vigo is a poet as well as a very famous actor. And so, you know, poetry is like, I have a chapter on Robert Bly, a very famous poet. And poetry is kind of the skeleton of language. And I think that writers are kind of searching for music in between sentences. They're connected.
Well, you start off your Seekers with your mom and how she was a force of nature, and later in life, a painter, how she was supportive of you, even like setting up the drums in the living room. Was it her that had you take piano lessons?
Well, I wanted to play piano, and she obliged, and I loved it. Although I liked improvising rather than learning new compositions. And she'd come in and say, practice your scales. And actually, Manfred, I did a audio version of this book where I read the whole thing. Oh. And under it, I put music. So in that section, you will hear me playing poorly scales on the piano. And also in sections where I'm talking about the Doors, I play Doors drumming. So the audiobook should be pretty interesting.
Wow, that sounds really cool. Well, you know, in contrast to your mom, you mentioned your dad being much more quiet, even later on, how he thought the name of the band, The Doors, was kind of dumb. Was he in opposition to you being a musician?
Well, I mean, at one point he did say, you know, you ought to cut your hair and go back to school. He was just worried about me finding a job. And, you know, I loved music, but I never thought I could make a living at it. And then, I got in this band, and I'm still talking about the...
Well, a couple of themes you come back to over the course of the book is time and silence. That chapter, we're speaking about your music teacher, Robert Amore, you write that art releases us from the trap of time. Can you explain that a bit further?
Yeah. You know, when the first drum beat all of us ever heard was in the womb, it was our mother's heartbeat, you know? And so when musicians are trying to play together, it doesn't matter if it's a duet or a 40-piece orchestra, you're trying to play like one, really as tight as possible. And that's kind of like getting back to the womb, to the heartbeat. And that's what makes people dance. So it's real important to get that. And silence is a balance to sound. If you had all sound, you wouldn't have any contrast.
So on your website, I watched some of a poetry read you had participated in a couple months ago. And in the book, you write about accompanying poets and writers on occasion. What did you say about Viggo Mortensen, him being a poet, and something about poetry as a skeleton of...
Poetry is kind of the skeleton of language. Searching for the minimal, you know, poetry is very minimal, whereas prose, like my new book, is more blah, blah.
Well, it's good blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so obviously you're drawn to poetry, and, you play instruments, the drums, your piano. I'm wondering, do you ever write songs?
I tried writing lyrics and they came out dumb compared to Day Destroys the Night, Night Divides the Day, Tried to Run, Tried to Hide, Break On Through. Now that's some lyrics right there.
That is some lyrics. Should put it in a song. Yeah. Well,
I'll tell you, I did, after a big peak like The Doors, I did find that if I did drumming and poetry readings or whatever, I got fulfilled as much as a giant concert. If I was really in the moment and the audience was really with me, that's sort of the magic of live performance, which we're all missing, but we'll get back there next year, I hope, the end of the year.
Me too. Well, I think you've answered already this question, but I want to go ahead and ask it. So, you know, Jim Morrison, as the Doors lyricist and a poet, But I know that like in Light My Fire, some of the lyrics were Robbie Krieger's. Did you ever contribute any words, any lyrics to Doors songs?
No, all the lyrics in Light My Fire are Robbie's, except one line, Our Love Become a Funeral Pyre. That's a very Morrison-esque, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So back to the book, there are so many great characters, artists that I think, you know, the average pop music person will be familiar with, not so much the jazz players, though. But after they read the book, you know, they should find some, there'll be some curiosity peak for certain. And one of these seekers is this jazz cello player, Fred Katz. You write about him being once a professor of ethnological music. So can you explain, what is ethnological music?
I don't know, Manfred. Well, it's music from different cultures. And so, Fred Katz was the cello player in the Chico Hamilton Jazz Quintet and a professor at a college that I went to. And I saw him play with Chico, and I noticed this beat that Chico played on the bell of the ride cymbal. Mm-hmm. And I kind of confiscated that and put it in the end. You know, steal from the best.
Right. Well, you're just another link in the chain. It's not stealing as much as it is just... Yeah. Borrowing for a moment, finding a new home for it, maybe.
Yeah.
So speaking of drummers, Elvin Jones, you would say he's the one jazz drummer who influenced you the most?
Most definitely. He was my mentor. And I stumbled into a jazz club in my late teens, and I saw Coltrane many times. And I didn't know, I knew there was magic going on. I didn't know that they were going to be these giant icons. And eventually I saw Elvin and brought him my first self-centered memoir. I have three. And I gave it to him and said, in here I wrote, you gave me my hands, meaning he's my teacher. And then by the end of his life, when he was in town, I would help take his drums to the car.
Right. You talk about that in the book. You also mentioned something about, or he had offered you guys to go out and get something to eat, and it didn't happen at that time. Did you ever have a chance to share a meal with him?
No, I didn't. But I was very thrilled that he signed. I'm looking at the poster right now that Elvin signed. I was a groupie, even though I was in a famous rock band. And he signed my LPs, which I have, and the poster I'm looking at now of him.
So you consider him as your main mentor. Do you in turn mentor anybody?
Well, I hope I mentor a lot of people.
Well, I mean, anyone that you know.
I'm not out there in the world right now, so as no one is. But
right.
Yeah, there's several drummers that that come to my gigs, and we talk and talk about drumming, and yeah.
So you had, seems like you had a pretty close relationship with a vibraphonist and percussionist, Emile Richards. I found out a bit of trivia about him. I was curious if you knew this, that he provided the finger snaps on the Addams Family theme for the television show. Did you know that?
I didn't, but I'll bet it's true. He was a fanatic for unusual sounds. He had chimes that he would dip in water. And all these famous film composers used him because he was just a wonderful source of different sounds. And he played with Frank Sinatra and George Harrison. And if you look at the Concert for George, in the very beginning, Amos playing with Ravi Shankar, mm-hmm. I mean, the guy was really diverse.
It seems like his career, much more than the... other jazz guys, at least in your book, sort of dips into these rock circles as percussionists mainly. Is that true?
Yeah, Emil crossed over. And that's kind of the thread of the whole book. It's really diverse. You know, I've got classical conductor Gustavo Dudamel from the LA Philharmonic and jazz people and unknown people. And I think that's what fed me. And that's what kind of fed the Doors. We had Robbie playing flamenco and folk, and mm-hmm. Ray would play Chicago blues and classical. You know, the intro to Let My Fire is kind of like Bach. And Jim had all these words, and I had jazz. So I think it's an American melting pot, and it's a very tasty gumbo.
Oh, I like that turn of phrase, tasty gumbo.
That's why the new book is so diverse.
Well, in it, you have sections on your former bandmates, the Jim Morrison and Ray Manzarek. And so the way you connected first with Ray was through jazz, right?
That's correct. We were at a Maharishi meditation meeting. He said, "Hey, I hear you're a drummer. Want to jam?" I definitely would play anywhere. So I went to his parents' garage in Manhattan Beach, and there was this guy lurking in the corner who wouldn't talk to anybody, and he eventually turned out to be Jim Morrison. But we were talking about Miles Davis, Ray and I, mm-hmm. and I asked him, "Do you know all blues?" And he said, "Sure." And so that was the first song we jammed on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned him as being an early father figure. So how was he a father figure? What did he represent?
Well, Ray was 6 years older, and he was erudite. He was really well-read and cultured, and, mm-hmm. and I learned a lot from him, and I looked up to him.
So you mentioned, too, I think, and that's the section of the book where you're talking about the relationship between drums and the bass in general, and how for the Doors, specifically, that was the relationship between you and Ray's left hand. Can you explain some about the relationship between drums and the bass and what the relationship is between the two instruments?
Sure. Bass and drums are the rhythmic foundation of any band. And we auditioned bass players. We even had a girl bass player for a minute there. But we kind of, we were frustrated. We thought, well, now we sound like a white blues band, like the Rolling Stones. And then Ray and I discovered this piano bass, and that was it. We decided that we would not have a separate bass player. And so his left hand would be the low bass part with my drums, and then his right hand would be the organ.
And so when you were first doing gigs, was that ever like other musicians kind of looking at you like, "Hey, you know, what's up with this? Why is he just using his left hand? Why don't you get a real bass player?"
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Let's see. The famous LSD scientist, what's his name?
Timothy Leary? Or
No. He's the guy who made this.
Right.
He came to hear us play when we were in San Francisco at one of the ballrooms. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You guys got a hole in your sound. You need a bass player." And then he left. And we thought, well, if the master chemist of then legal LSD,
yeah,
if we're making him nervous, we're on the right track.
So there's a section there in the book where you're talking about Van Morrison, and you know, he doesn't treat you very well on stage. I was wondering, is that like an experience where you have to separate the man from the art?
Precisely.
Okay.
You know, and Jim was difficult at times, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I write about that in the chapter towards the end with Paul Simon, where Jim was kind of rude to Paul. And, you know, Van forgot to introduce me at the Hollywood Bowl, and it was rather awkward. Yeah. But then after 6 months of turning the radio off when I heard his music, then I heard We Were Born Before the Wind, also Younger Than the Sun, and The Bonnie Both Is One As We Sail Into the Mystic. How could I not love him for that?
Yeah, the bonnie boat was one as we sail into the mystic.
That was Van Morrison with some of Into the Mystic off of his 1970 album Moondance. Just prior to that, we heard John Densmore reciting some of the song's lyrics. And that brings part one of our Coolest Conversations with John to an end. Thanks to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And next week, join me for part two, where we continue to discuss other seekers, like percussionist Ayrto Moreira, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Willie Nelson. We also talk about hip-hop artist Jay-Z sampling Doors music, and John's relationship with Robbie Krieger. That's your next week's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.